Well, hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our Future Forecast Formula call for January 2014, our first one this year. And as I said yesterday to everyone on the Numerology Academy call, it's been quite a year so far, this number 7 energy. So I'm sure you're feeling it, and if not, your clients are, and you're coming in touch with the incredible energy that the number 7 brings. We've already had some incredible breakthroughs in our family, in particular with my husband Clayton, who just this one thing led to another, from a friend telling me about a very well-known practitioner and author who we just didn't know about for some reason, and he actually appeared in The Secret, so which is the movie I watched way back when, 2007, when it came out, and his name is Dr. John DeMartini. And for some reason, I did not investigate, you know, his work. And so a friend of mine were having lunch in early January, and she just mentioned that she was really enjoying, you know, his process. And I said, oh, this would be perfect for Clayton. So I, you know, she told me about a lecture that he was having in L.A., coming up. It was last week, and so I'm going to take Clayton to that. And so we went, and we took Clara too, and it was just an amazing lecture. And to make a long story short, Clayton walked up to John afterwards and told him about his hand condition. He has focal dystonia, which is a condition that is from repetitive movement of the hand over many, many, many decades of practicing. So quite a few top professional musicians have focal dystonia. It's also sometimes prevalent amongst athletes. So it's a repetitive neurological injury that can happen. So, and what Dr. DeMartini does is he helps you break through what the initial cause would have been to activate this dis-ease in the body. So they really hit it off, and John invited him to meet with him while he was still in L.A., and that happened yesterday morning, and Clayton had an amazing, amazing session with him. And this is, you know, somebody, I mean, John DeMartini is somebody who, you know, travels the world lecturing and is very much in demand, and, you know, is a best-selling author, and charges $2,000 an hour. And he just gave this gift to Clayton. This happened within 2 weeks, actually less than 2 weeks of my having lunch with my friend. And so, again, this is one of those instant, very big, sudden breakthroughs that can happen in a year like 2014 if you're open to the opportunity and, of course, act on it and see it. It really is an amazing year for these things. So I wanted to share that personal story to inspire you, because it was so inspirational to me, and I'm still sitting here going, wow, thanked my friend this morning. And, you know, yeah. So now I want to get to your questions. We have a few email questions, and if you want to get in line, just press *6 so you can ask your question personally, or you can ask a follow-up to anything I bring up today. And so we do have some really good, very in-depth questions. I'm going to start with an overview first. Jackie, or Jacqueline, I should say, called yesterday into Numerology Academy with several questions, and one of them I said was for today's call, and that is she wants to know books that you can that I can recommend in helping with transits and secondary progressions. And I did recommend a couple books, as you know, in a recent email I sent out to all of you at the end of last year. But I was sort of thinking, because, see, I don't use a lot of these books anymore. I used to read them very in-depth, but since I've come up with my own version, I only access them occasionally. So I went back to my library this morning, and I remembered these books that I discovered when I was much younger in college and studying astrology way back when. And my favorite author, and, you know, at that time and still is, though I don't know how well known he is now, He wrote several books, and his name is Stephen, that's spelled with a P-H, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and his last name is Arroyo, which is A-R-R-O-Y-O. So if you just look into some of his books, he sometimes rambles on a bit, but the insights he has are deeply spiritual and more transcendent and metaphysical, and I really enjoyed how he processed, you know, the information that he received from giving readings. So I learned a lot from him and really studied his books intensely way back when. They're all marked up, and occasionally I will go and, you know, check out something. But that should give you another wonderful resource, just looking at what Stephen Arroyo wrote in his several books. So that answers Jacqueline's question, and so then I'm going to go to Ryora, who had a couple of questions. The first one regards the sesquiquintile that we spoke about in the last call, which is that 105 degrees. You mentioned, I will likely not be on this call, so will you please explain why you consider the 105 degree aspect so important and why you chose not to include the true sesquiquadrat? It's actually not a true sesquiquadrate. This is not a sesquiquadrate. That was just the name I mistakenly used. So true sesquiquadrate is 135 degrees. This is the sesquiquintile. So it really has nothing to do with that. You're saying from the little I've researched on the 105 degree aspect, which is the sesquiquintile, it is considered minor, yet you call it very important. What significance does it hold as you see it? Okay, great question. So I'm going to answer it in three parts. First of all, I've found this aspect to be more significant in forecasting in the research I've done with my clients. It shows to me more of an intensification than the sesquiquadrate does, which is, again, that 135 degrees. So the sesquiquintile, 105 degrees, to me was more of an indication than the other aspect. So it's that one reason. Number two, the 105 degrees lies directly between a square, which is 90 degrees, and a trine, which is 120 degrees. So it's sort of, it is like a meeting point of those two aspects that we use in astrology a lot, the trine being more considered more easy and benefic and you know, about easier opportunities, and the square being about activation and tension and a spur to action. And this, what I call sesquiquintile at 105 degrees, to me is a combination of both. So it allows you to literally combine the action with the opportunity. And in terms of forecasting, I'm talking about now, is just really indicative of something major that can happen for you during the time that it's active. Now, the third reason is numerological. And again, I work with sacred geometry and codes. So if you just write this down, the 90-degree aspect, which is the square, 90 reduces to 9. The sesquiquintile reduces to 6, so 105 for the sesquiquintile is a 6, 1 plus 0 plus 5, and then the trine, 120 degrees, is a 3. So when you look at that, there is an actual code between these three aspects that's activated. 369 is the deeply expressive code of creativity. And all creation is really based on this code. I've talked extensively about how important the multiples of threes and nines are. So the 369 that form the numerology code triggers something within you that literally spurs you to create. And we are creative beings. And so to me, that was another indication of the importance of the sesquiquintile, 105 degrees. So that is my answer to that question, and let me know. I know Rari said you may not be able to speak up during the call because you're still a bit hoarse, but if you want to follow up, please you know, email for the next call or see if you can get on the phone. I don't mind, you know, if you're a little raspy. So, okay, so, and then you also ask, where is this? Okay, you, in lesson 2, page 16, you say, a transit that triggers a progression is of major importance. And in lesson 6, you say, transits that act as a trigger to a longer-lasting progression or transit, longer-lasting progression or transit also describe specific dates. Will you please clarify this, since you told me in a past call that transiting plants only affect the natal chart and don't trigger progressions? Yes, yes, that's a very easy question to answer here. So just bear with me. If you could just draw out a tri-wheel chart, that means a chart that has the birth chart in the middle and then an outer wheel that has, you can just put progressions in that wheel, and then the most outer wheel, the third wheel, would be transits. So that's called a tri-wheel. So draw that out, and then the way I can explain this best, that if you have a tri-wheel chart and the progressions are in the second wheel, transits in the outer wheel, look first for how the progressed planets, if there is one, is affecting the natal chart. Okay, so I'm going to just use an example. Let's say the progressed sun is forming a square to natal Venus. Okay, so progressed sun is squaring natal Venus. So that means in the second wheel, the progressed sun is forming a 90-degree angle to the most inner wheel natal chart where Venus is. Okay, they're forming that square. Okay. Then go to the outer wheel and see if a slow-moving transit is also affecting that planet Venus. So is Jupiter, for example, forming an opposition or a conjunction to Venus at the same time? And check that. Okay? So let's say Jupiter is forming an opposition to natal Venus at that same time. Since Jupiter, transiting Jupiter moves much faster than any progressed planet except the progressed moon. You know, the progressed sun is 1 degree a year pretty much. When that progressed Jupiter hits that Venus in opposition, it will trigger the progressed sun, the meaning of the progressed sun. Okay? So it's not the aspect from Jupiter to, from transiting Jupiter to progressed sun that matters. It's the aspect from transiting Jupiter to natal Venus. Any natal planet or natal angle that's affected consecutively at the same time, right, at the same moment by both a slow-moving transiting planet and a progressed planet is triggered by a transiting planet because those are moving faster than progressions do. Okay, so it's not that you look at that third outer wheel and see, well, how are those transiting planets affecting my second wheel, the progressed wheel? It's not that at all. So the difference is that I'm not looking for transiting planets to trigger the actual person's progressions. You're not moving from transits to progressions. You're moving from the transiting outer wheel to always the natal chart. So it's always in relation to the most inner chart, not the outer charts, right? So I hope that makes sense. So really all I'm saying is if a slow-moving planet transits the same natal planet or angle as the progressed planet does, then the transiting planet triggers the progression. And at that point, whatever the progression means, whatever the meaning is, the house meaning, the aspect between the planets, et cetera, is intensified by the actual transit happening at the same time. Okay? So I hope that answers that for you. And then we have a great question by Elaine, which, again, I answered part of which yesterday in Numerology Academy. But what she asked is, when doing future forecasting for a person, we have their birth time and information. What charts would you use to do an annual forecast? Like for the year 2014, would you use the here and now for the beginning and end? That she's talking about transits. Would you use a transit chart for the, you know, beginning of the year and the end of the year? Can you use solar arcs? Do you look at the signs that the planets are in and make an interpretation from there? Do the houses come into play at all? Okay, first of all, I want to answer yes to all of your questions. The answer is yes. And like I said yesterday, the first thing you want to look at are the personal year cycles numerologically for the person during the year. The second thing you do is you draw up a transit chart for 2014 with the important transiting planets, so slow-moving ones. I only do this from Jupiter through Pluto, okay? So those are the ones I really pay attention to. I also check where Mars is because Mars can trigger a more slow-moving transit, just like I explained to where you are like now, right now. So if Pluto is squaring, let's say transiting Pluto is squaring your natal sun. If Mars comes along and triggers that sun somehow, then it will activate that Pluto square sun, right? So if Mars comes along and conjuncts the sun or, you know, opposes the sun or even squares the sun from another angle, it will trigger that slower moving Pluto transit to the sun. Okay, so I do look for that as well. But I don't, the reason I don't list all the Mars transits in that chart, which I show you in Future Forecast Formula, you know, how to create that transit chart for the whole year. The reason I don't list Mars transits is because there's so many and they just clutter up the page. So if you want, you can do a separate chart for that, you know, where it just lists the actual aspects for the whole year with the dates that they become exact. But I don't do it in my main list of transits. It's just too many because Mars moves so fast. So anyway, you get that transit list. You do the same thing for the progressions, and that's, of course, a much shorter list that you end up printing out because progressions just move a lot more slowly. And the only progressions that you need to look at, as I keep saying, are from the Sun to Moon to Venus to Mercury to Mars. You don't look at any other planets because they are so slow moving that they actually do not, they just sit there for so long, it basically doesn't have an effect, right? So you print out those two. What I always do is I print out the day of the reading. I print out the transits, I print out the progressions, and I print out the solar arcs for the day of the reading. And I send those to my client so he or she can see what I'm looking at. Doesn't necessarily mean I'll always refer to them and explain what I'm doing because that can take a lot of time. But at least they can see what I'm referring to. And if they have some kind of knowledge of astrology, they can follow what you're saying. Same for if I see a period where I see an intensification or let's say, for example, I'll give you an example. What if the person is born in August and they're moving from a personal year that does not trigger their chart to a personal year that does? So let's say they're moving from a 6 personal year to a 7 personal year in August, and one of their important birth numbers is 7. I would at that point draw another chart for them during that period of transits, progressions, and solar arcs, just so I have it in front of me because I like seeing the actual charts and see what that pivot point moment on their birthday means. And it's always good to do that birthday chart called a solar return. You can always, you know, on the day of their birthday, if you're doing a year-long reading, print out charts for the day of their birthday, you know, just to get an idea of what's in store for them. That's always a good idea, too. And then just refer to the actual, you know, lists that you printed out beforehand that list those progressions and transits. Solar arcs, I don't know of a program that solar arc lists. So what I do with that is I literally figure them out because they move so slowly, right? They move like a degree a year. So it's not that difficult once you have your solar arc chart for the reading, you know, for the day of the reading, to figure out what's going to happen in the year because it's so slow moving. It's literally just a degree. So that is basically hopefully answers your question. Oh, you ask about houses. Yes, of course. You want to, you know, the houses matter, you know, where in the house, which house are certain planets being triggered, which angles are being triggered. You know, I remember telling you that the four important angles are really, really the skeleton of your chart. They're the building blocks. So you always want to pay attention to the ascendant, descendant, nadir, and midheaven. Always, always, because anything that triggers those angles is going to affect the person. With the houses, yes, like I said, pay attention to where things are taking place. If the ruling planet of a particular house, let's say Saturn's being triggered in a birth chart, find out where Capricorn is, because Saturn rules Capricorn. Which house does Capricorn rule, right? See where in the chart. If it's the fifth house and you have fifth house issues that are being triggered because, you know, Capricorn in this instance rules that house, Saturn is the ruler of that sign Capricorn, and so that's how you weave the storyline. Right? So you look at the person's creativity and you basically say, you know, this year or during these next few months or this next period, as Saturn is being, you know, aspected, I want you to also watch out for, you know, really stabilizing your creativity by creating an orderly life, really making time for it, but time that is scheduled and not haphazard, because your creativity really, really wants your attention and your, you know, your discipline. And there's something you're birthing right now, because Saturn always starts, you know, block by block, and it's a building block planet, and spurs you into just taking life seriously. So I want, you know, I'm just talking to your client. I want you to really pay attention to your creativity and take it seriously, and create something of value, right? So That's how you tie those meanings together, okay? So let's see if we have another question here. I think that's it for the email questions today. So let's go to any calls. So if you have a question, if you're on the line, I know there was a caller before. I don't see you right now, but there was a, if you want to click star 6, this is your time to ask anything, and caller, whoever you were who was in the queue before, if you want to come back, I can get your question answered. But in any case, this is your time to just, you know, review anything with me about the course. Oh, and you know what? This is a good time for me to let you know that I will be making those sesquicentile corrections in the PDFs for you. It will happen next month, so expect it in February. I can't tell you exactly when, but you will get those corrections to make it easier. I'm also going to go into a couple of the webinars as well and see what I can do there. So it's not confusing with the word I use. I don't even want to say the word, but the one, you know, the 105 degree aspect. So we can really be clear on you know, the actual aspect name. And also, I will make any other corrections as I see them when I go through. You know, occasionally, like I said, I create a slide and then forget to change a birthday. You know, and so that's something that I have to go back in and just correct. So, okay. So I don't see any of you queuing for today, so I guess we are all good on the question front. So, you know, pay attention to the full moon, new moons that are going on. We have some very potent energy this month with, you know, two new moons, one at the very first day of the month, one at the very end of the month. It definitely is a sign of new beginnings, and so you want to really pay attention to what this all means for you in terms of rebirthing and starting fresh. Ah, we have our caller back, so let me get that question. Hello.
Hi,
Tanya.
Is this
Rebecca?
Rebecca. Yeah.
Hi. I'm glad you came back.
Well, you know, I wasn't really sure if my question really applied to this particular group. But I kind of, and it's not even a question, I just kind of had a celebration comment, I guess is what you would probably call it. I don't know if you've heard of Larry Winget or not. He is.
You know, why does that name sound so familiar?
Well,
I have heard of
him.
I just can't place him.
Books on the bestseller list. He's known as the bulldog of personal development. He tells it like it is and doesn't care if he hurts feelings. He's very right-winged and all that. And I had won a free half-hour counseling session with him at an event.
And when did that happen, this year?
That happened last year, and I've been procrastinating and procrastinating ever since then because I knew what I did wasn't in alignment with how he thought. I just knew that. So
yeah.
I had my half-hour session with him just a couple of hours ago, and he was coaching me on my business and stuff like that, and I told him I know that he probably doesn't, you know, have a feel for what I do, but I bet he could help me with my business. And at the end of it, he said, well, you know, my favorite number since I've been a little kid has been 666. And I kind of told him what 6 meant, and he goes, well, that's interesting. So after our call, I emailed him a breakdown on his name and his the number 6 and 666 equals 18/9 and all of that kind of stuff and wrote out a whole bunch of things and emailed it to him. And at the end of it, after, I mean, it wasn't 15 minutes before I got a response from him, and he said, fascinating and spot on. Amazing to me how accurate this is on so many levels.
Oh, that just gave me chills.
I was blown away. And so I emailed him back and asked if I could use the quote, if I could use his quote.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely, ask and ye shall receive.
Oh, see, there you go. Ask and ye shall receive. I love that.
I know.
See, you stepped out of your comfort zone when you did
totally,
that, right? You did.
Totally.
You totally stepped out of your comfort zone. That's what the 7's asking us to do.
Yep,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
Clayton stepped totally out of his comfort zone when he went up to Dr. John DeMartini. He didn't want to do it. I encouraged him. My friend who was there said, look, Clayton, just go and ask him if he can help people with focal dystonia. Dr. DeMartini had never heard of focal dystonia. Do you know what he did that weekend? He went and researched it. So when he met Clayton on Monday, he knew all about it. That's the kind of guy he is. So they had an amazing time. You did the same thing. You stepped out of your comfort zone. Clayton did the same thing. And it's like the gifts are incredible. And it is so true. Ask and you shall receive. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. It's really, really apropos to what our opportunities are this year, you know?
Yeah.
And
I was just, I mean, this guy, if anybody wants to Google Larry Winget, he's got YouTube videos, and he just really, I mean, he nails people on their stuff, totally. And so
wow.
I was like, just to have him come and give me a quote like this and then give me permission to use it was just like a gift.
Absolutely. That's huge.
I know.
Are you kidding
me?
That's huge. And that's fabulous, too, for you energetically because it's a step up for you. It gives you confidence. You know, and this is what we do. We have to move through those painful moments that we feel, oh, I can't do it. You know, pain and pleasure are both part of growth. Growth is not just about pleasure. It's also about pain. So we have to work through our pain and just step up and say, you know what, I embrace this. I gladly welcome that this feels really fearful to me because that means I'm up-leveling right now, you know. So, and that's what you did, and that's what the 7 is. It's that lightning strike of inspiration that you need to act on. I'm really proud of you, and I'm so happy, you know, next weekend we're going to really do some good work. This is going to be awesome, you know? Yeah, great, good. Well, that's really, thank you for sharing that. That's so inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a perfect story for this year, you know?
Yeah.
It really
and,
is.
Well, I mean, that just, like, happened to me, like, an hour ago.
Awesome. Yay.
Yep.
Good.
I'll be using
good.
It.
Well, we'll talk more when I see you for the mastermind meeting. That's
perfect.
Exciting.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
You bet.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was a nice testimonial there for, you know, how we can really utilize the 7. You know, for all your clients, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just help them move through those moments. Just tell them to stick with it. So, you know, today on my Facebook page, I was writing about, you know, often we feel tired or overwhelmed or frustrated right before we need to push through something. It literally is, and that's how you know that it's time, you know, to move through, because the richness resides on the other side. The actual treasure that you want so much resides on the other side of pushing through your fear. So, you know, when you feel stretched, when you feel like, oh, can I really do this? That's the time to get inspired and get momentum and break through. And so I just want you to imagine like you're an explorer this year and you're looking for the secrets that have, you know, you've been wanting to know forever, and you will get through. You find the secret door that opens up to amazing, hidden, priceless treasure. And so 7 is full of priceless treasures. It is the number of values, and so you want to really, really, really pay attention to what you value and focus on that, because the number 7 of really all the numbers out there, numbers 1 and 7 are the two big focus numbers. And 7 is also about learning. So it truly is a remarkable time for all of us who delve into the mysteries and the metaphysical secrets, because they are understood by virtue of, you know, releasing anxiety in ourselves and moving away, you know, going to the silence within and moving away from all the chatter and all the emotional debris that we carry around. 7 really pierces through all of that and takes away the guilt and the fear and brings in gratitude and brings in inspiration and brings in silence. And, you know, the mind chatter that we have in our life about how we feel, you know, upset or whatever it is, it's all silenced when your soul speaks to you. In moments where the soul speaks, it's pure inspiration, it's pure bliss, and you feel uplifted. And so that is what we're all here to really feel all year long, and for us to convey to our clients in whatever way we can do that, you know. So thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, all of you, for being on the call. I look forward to next month when we have our February call. Now, just so you know, next month is a 9 universal month. It is a time of endings, culminations, and so you will be asked to really feel deeply on the level that I just spoke about, because 9 is a number of wisdom in a different way. It's the unconditional love, whereas 7 is the wisdom of the spirit, of intelligence, you know, and when those two come together, those two forms of wisdom, it really is quite powerful. So it is, you know, since we won't be speaking till closer to the end of the month, I want you to really, you know, tune into that energy as well in your own life. And by the way, if you do need to rest more in February, take that time. When number 7 and 9 come together, they do ask us to really, you know, some naps or sleep in or take a time out or, you know, those are the two numbers where we're being asked to just not go all the time. So if you do feel inclined to do that, please do and take that moment. Okay, having said that, we'll see you talk to you next month. Enjoy forecasting for yourself and your clients, and all my best to you. Lots of love. Bye-bye.